can't exhaust any idea, but I can give you some verses and some thoughts. So if you have something to write with, I got two more verses to add for this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts. Now remember this, everyone that is a believer have been given a gift or gifts. There are some that God will give many gifts to, some that will give two or three or four gifts to, and then there's some that they only gives one gift. It depends on the purpose God has for you in the family of God. Every one of us are a part of God's family. We've been baptized in by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. You know, one time, friend, before you were saved, you were following dumb idols. You were. And if you're not careful, your flesh likes those dumb idols who can't speak to you. They can't hear you. They can't talk to you. They can't change you. They can't make you anything. So those dumb idols, if we're not careful, they'll become a part of our life once again. Thank God, such as some of you were. We were this and we were that. But because of the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit working, we're no longer that. And I praise the Lord for that. I pray Jamie has a better husband and a better friend. I pray my kids have got a better dad and a better grandpa without compromise, but with great compassion and mercy. Verse 3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God can call Jesus accursed. There is no way a believer, a true believer, can say that Jesus is accursed. No way. But if you look into our society, so many people will reject and question who the Lord Jesus is, and they'll call themselves geniuses. They'll call themselves authorities and philosophers and whatnot. I think of a lot of our media today, and I include all media, whether it be conservative or we call the word liberal, but today it's either communistic or it's capitalistic. It's communistic in thought or it's God in thought. It cannot be in between. Karl Marx's number one thought was there is no God. Do you realize that? Everything was based on that. And then Karl Marx based his thinking on thinking of other philosophers and authoritarians that were in the world. Let me give you an example of one I've been hearing lately. Fascism is nothing that a conservative will ever be a part of. Donald Trump is not a fascist. Now, the Democratic Party is, and they're allowing in a Muslim communist is into their thinking now. So much so, men like James Carville, who, if you know anything about him, he is a veteran, and I thank the Lord for his service, and he was a Marine at that. Why they think like that, I do not know. But he said, I'm tired of the Democratic Party. They're allowing in things. Now, would that cause them to want to vote for men like Trump or agree with conservative people? Probably not. There's another one that I've been seeing on an ad lately. Mastom, or he was a Navy SEAL. And he lies explicitly on his ad when he says that President Trump is tearing up the Constitution. The only one tearing up the Constitution today is the Democrat. The Republican is just too weak and too sissified to stand on the Constitution. They're spineless individuals, and they're deceivers, like the Marjorie Taylor Greene, who was this big MAGA, Republican. I'm thinking of it. Grassroots is another word I'm looking for. And this and that, and she's turned herself into a $20 million harlot. Spiritual and political harlot is what they become. But in all reality, they have all become, except for the ones that love the Lord. I think J.D. Vance and Rubio and some of these others are a little bit different. I don't think men like the senator out of Texas, Cruz, which I really like him. I like him a lot. But even out of his Southern Baptist roots, he can be easily deceived, and he can say things like a John Kennedy of Louisiana, but doing those things is another thing. I am with the House Republicans in the fact that the Senate left without passing the Save America Act. It is a shame we have to have an act like that anyway, because it's already in the Constitution and it is in other laws. They're just going to make another law that they can disobey and destroy. So what is this in totality? In total, it is a spirit of Antichrist. Now, things have got to happen for the final days to come. And I think we're so close to that. It's unbelievable with our love for sin. The old adage of the, you know, we heard in the 70s and 80s, if you remember, if it feels good, do it. Y'all remember those phrases? And President Bush was right when he gave that speech after 9/11. He says, our society needs to change. Well, what's funny is it won't without the Lord Jesus making the difference. The Holy Spirit has to make the difference. When you watch these ads and you get things in the mail, just know who they are. I seen an ad the other day that they were upset about Planned Parenthood being defunded. Planned Parenthood is a murderer of innocent children. Your tax dollars and my tax dollars are paying for that. That's this accursed idea. That's the individual that will not see Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth. They won't see him as the Savior, and it's a complete rejection. And we're going to see that in the morning message. But understand, if you're not careful, friend, if you're not cultivating and growing the gifts that God has given you, if you're not in the Word, you're not praying, you'll become just as deceived as any of the others. Right now, my prayer is that Mike Rogers can become senator. But then again, that's not the answer, but that might not even help things. We don't know. We just don't know. Governor's coming up. And those that are running for governor. John James, to me, in my opinion, is a wimp. John James is not the soldier that everybody thinks he is. He's not. I don't care whether you like him or not. I'm just giving you the truth. John James is not a fighter. He's not in the political world. Now, maybe in an Apache helicopter that he flew, yes. He was willing and he probably did push a couple buttons that ended people's lives. But a lot of these guys don't translate to that leadership. Why? Because the Lord Jesus is not that important to them. They won't talk to me when I ask questions. Because I'll ask questions straight up, are you a man or not? And I don't go into, if you notice in media today, when they ask a lot of questions, they have to give some kind of a speech before they answer the question. If I were standing there and Sister Bensy stood up and she began to give this 2-minute speech to ask a 10-second question, I'd say, would you get to the point? What question do you have? I don't care what you think or what you got going on. And a lot of these people, they do it for notoriety. They do it for money. The biggest thing today is notoriety and money because they want those positions. Now, however way you vote, that's between you and God. And by the way, that is between you and God. And I'm going to stand here as your leader and tell you who these people are, whether you like it or not. Beloved, we live in a day and age where deception has come about because of our lack of stance for the Lord Jesus. Calling it, if we want to go to the world terminology, calling an ace and a spade a spade. You need to know more about these people before you check mark beside their name. Now, and that's coming up big time. We are seeing in the United States of America such a change in culture, a change in thought, that when people want to throw out, well, you're a fascist and you're a Nazi and you're in this and that, and then you talk to that individual and they support an individual who has a swastika on their chest. They stand with the Ku Klux Klan. Still to this day, a Republican has never owned a slave. Do you understand that? Never. Why? Because it is the party of freedom, not slavery. The Democratic Party is a party of slavery. But it's not just a party, it's a philosophy, it's a way of thinking and a way of life. None of us would ever agree with owning another person. God gave in Colossians, especially, masters, you're to take care. That was for them to understand where God was on that. God was never for slavery. But if you're going to be a master in this world system, as we get back to Luke 16, then you better be a godly one. And boy, 99.9% of them were not godly whatsoever. So when we come to this verse, verse 3 hits on a lot of things. Verse 4. Now, there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. But there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Now watch this. Same Spirit, same Lord. Look at verse 6. And there are diversities of operation, but is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. These verses and these words that I want to bring out to you show a unity. All the gifts are given is for unity, not for one person to be greater than the other person, not for the left toe to tell the left thumb you're not needed, for the left nostril to tell your left leg you're not a part of me. That's silliness as we look at the body of Christ, as we look at a body. What are these things that we're looking at? Well, come over to verse 18. Why are these gifts important, and the giving and the administration of it and the distributing of it? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. It's up to him as to how he does this. For what reason? Look at verse 25. That there should be no schism in the body. There are tons of schisms today. There are a lot of left hands wanting to be right hands. There are a lot of left foots trying to be the brain. Well, let me say that the head of the church is Jesus Christ, and we certainly do not want a finite human being the brain. We must have the Lord Jesus being the brain. We have to. He knows it all. We want him to be the heart that pumps the blood, that brings the nutrients, that brings the life, the heat, and so many things into the body. We need him to be the heart of the body. Why? Because we will not love right. Our heart is desperately wicked. If we were the heart of it, we would bring about death and destruction into the body itself. And that's what we're seeing even within independent Baptist churches, Southern Baptist churches, Assembly of God Church, and the list goes on and on and on and on. When man's philosophy comes about, you have the Calvins of this world. And I don't know if you're watching or here in the room, John Calvin never came out of the Catholic Church and therefore should not be read by anyone who's serious about the things of God. John Calvin still baptized infants. There is no Bible. No one can show me yet from the Bible, this King James Bible, any place where God says, hey, baptize infants when they're first born to remove their original sin. There's no place for that. Why? That makes the blood of Jesus Christ of none effect. Because even when the believer is saved, he's washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, not in water. We don't want anything earthly washing our sin away. We need something heavenly to wash our sin away. This is why we need to be careful with who we vote for. I tell you what, if I had to base it on their Christianity, if I had to base it on their love of God, I couldn't vote for any of them. But that's not right either. That's not why my dad took shrapnel and bled in Vietnam. That's why my father-in-law ruined his back in the army trying to be a soldier for our nation. And the list goes on and on of men and women that gave their lives at Midway. Men and women that gave their lives at Normandy. Men and women that gave their lives at the Battle of the Bulge. Men and women that gave their lives in Central America in the 80s and 90s. And even now in Iran and Iraq. And to tell you the truth, you didn't ask for this. This is freebie. If I was President Trump, I'd ruin their day. Because all they are is deceivers. Iran and North Korea and Venezuela, now it's changing, we think. We think they are. But this world is not run by the Lord Jesus. One day it will be. But right now it's run by the devil himself with the Antichrist spirit. Antichrist spirit is what is running Washington. It is not the gift of this. They do not want what God wants. God wants unity. He doesn't want schism in the body. Has any of y'all ever had your left ear beat up, your left leg? Boy, that'd be a sight, wouldn't it? None of us have ever had our right hand beat on our left foot for being in the way. People will say, I got two left feet. Well, I've never seen anybody remove their left foot yet. There was a famous golfer by the name of Ben Hogan that used to say, I wished I had three right arms because of the way the swing works, and he's right hand dominant. And you want to, if you're right hand dominant, you want to be right hand dominant through the entire swing, right side dominant. But the point there is, your right hand is not going to remove your left foot. It's just not going to happen. God never intended for the church to be divided. Never. With that in mind, as we look at 18 and 25, and we understand the body of Christ and the illustration that's given here in this, verse 20, but now are they many members, yet one body. This is why I pray for sister churches, if you want to call it that. But I pray for Parker Memorial. I pray for Capital City, a Baptist church in our area. I pray for Community Baptist, and Brother Jackson has been faithful down there for so many years. And when his wife passed away just a few years ago, what a struggle that was for him. And I just so many things. Sister Jenny Patterson sitting down in Adrian trying to figure out what God has for her and that kind of thing. And, you know, our brothers and sisters in Christ, Brother Williams is coming back from some really bad health problems. And Sister Williams, as you already know, she has some. Sister Manning over in Romania, in a country that's not even hers, having a problem finding somewhere to make her base, somewhere to sleep. Well, now that to me, I pray for Sister Sharon, because that's a soldier. Most of us would be upset if we aren't in our own bed. Well, as the Lord Jesus said, I don't even have a pillow to lay my head. That's kind of where Sister Sharon's at. We need to pray for these missionaries, the Cowlings. I've read a couple of the missionary letters, you know, after this earthquake that happened there in the Philippines. And we've known so many missionaries from the Philippines and preachers that we've got to meet over the years. And for a third world country to have a 8.2 magnitude earthquake hit with a government that's only for themselves, there's no unity. And by the way, that is what the Antichrist spirit, that's what the devil himself, that's what all these people that say they're for you, they're not. So they bring schisms and they bring disunity. The Democratic Party is a party of disunity. But I'm going to tell you now, for the most part, the Republican Party is just as guilty. Fakes and frauds. That's what they are. I noticed that not one senator, whether it's a good senator or a bad senator, not one United States senator said, hey, I'm not leaving town till we pass this. Boy, they sure went home, didn't they? Got the 4th of July weekend coming up. One of the biggest things is there's two things that they're doing. Making sure that their monies is in the war chest for their next election. And they're making sure that they go to the constituent and make them smile, make them laugh, and make them like these guys like Cory Booker. What a godless fake and a fraud. What a hater of true America. These men are just fakes. The Peters, Gary Peters here in Michigan, and the other woman. What a mean and nasty individual. And I know who she is, and you know who she is. And so what's happening is they bring about a division, and division always, always brings about destruction. There's never a point where it makes things righteous. I've said it here lately after a dear friend of mine, his boy tried to use alcohol to poison himself and drank a whole fifth of whiskey and took some pills. And I said this, and it made a lot of people mad. I don't care if you think, call me a teetotaler all you want. But I grew up around it and been around it for 57 years. I have never seen alcohol ever create a positive outcome. Never. It's a schism. Now he says, in many, many places especially, well, go back to verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care. the same care for one for another. Again, going back to praying for Pastor Smith, Brother Smith and his family, praying for Heritage Baptist Church, praying. And by the way, it's not a bunch of nosy bodies trying to find out everything. It's not a bunch of gossipers sending discord amongst the brethren. Now, that's one of the six things God hates. His seven are an abomination to him there in Proverbs chapter 6. What it ought to do is cause us to look in the mirror and say, am I using the gift that God has given me? And am I trying to create unity rather than division? That's the whole point to it. I honestly do not care what any pastor or church or anybody in an independent Baptist in the state of Michigan, I don't care what they think. What does the scripture say? Are you rightly dividing? Are you studying it? Do you know the scriptures for your own person? Lord, help us to never be the one that creates a schism or division, disunity. Please, Lord God, help me in that. Right now, a sister church is going through things that have people in them that try to destroy this church. Many years ago, and that same group tried to destroy that church in the 1980s. It's hard for a leopard to change his spots. But I can tell you now that the Word of God can do it. The Holy Spirit of God can do it. If you're just willing to see yourself as being wrong and God is always right. I'm dealing with some personal things. We're individuals in my life, they think everything's hunky-dory and there's nothing wrong when there's absolute wrong going on. So, in the words of Brother Wright down at Bible Baptist in Pascagoula, Mississippi, he would tell his folks all the time, though no one join me, I'm going to follow Jesus. And I'm going to try to have the right spirit, I'm going to try to have the right compassion, right mercy. The Lord Jesus is always at work in us, around us, and through us. Now, I didn't write it out to the side because I wanted to ask you, what do you think that sounds like? In one word, the Lord Jesus is always at work in us, around us, and through us. What do you think that word is in Scripture? What do you think that word is? Just think about it a second. Camp director that I pray for, and I love him dearly, when I was about 14, and he gave me the definition of this word. It's God's working in us, around us, and through us to bring about that which is best for us. And I to this day tell him it's one of the best definitions I've ever heard on this one word. We have an individual in our church that, if you go to the Greek word of her name, it's exactly what this word is. Anybody got an idea? Charis. That's the word grace. That's God's grace. He not only uses His grace to save us, but He uses grace to grow us. He gives us grace to mature us. Why are we? Are you ever an undeserving child of God? Always. I'm very undeserving. I'm undeserving of Jamie. I'm undeserving of the children He gave us. You know, there's a lot of couples that can't have children. I'm undeserving of all grace. Jamie and I have never seen a day where we didn't eat. We've seen a day when the cupboard was fairly empty. Now we got stuff in the cupboard we're just going to have to give away. Praise the Lord for that. If God wants to use my cupboard as a supply for another family, praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. By the way, when people give you stuff, say thank you and take it. Shut up otherwise.
Well, you didn't have to.
Hey, don't you go stealing my blessing and try to be so meek and humble when in reality you're just being stupid for not taking it. Oh, my goodness. And that's the world system, by the way, today. How many times do you offer help and, oh, no, we're good. If someone's willing to help you and you don't accept it, you're a fool. You're foolish. Sister Rachel, I do believe that's why. Sister Karis, Sister Bensy, you listening? I think that's why we've gone through the health troubles that we've gone through. Brother Ray, Brother Scott, you listening? Babe? We go through these struggles in life and have these problems to weaken our stupid flesh so God can use others to help us. When you reject God's help through someone else, you're rejecting a gift of God. That's deep. I don't know who thought that one up. It sure wasn't me. Had you ever thought that you're a rejecter of the Holy Spirit? You quenched the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has gone over to another church and said, "Hey, John, I want you to do such and such for Rachel Mills at Walker Bible Baptist Church." And he does that, and he shows up to the front door, and he gives this gift of whatever God tells him it is. And the first thing out of our mouth is, "Well, you didn't have to." What do you think that phrase even means? What does that phrase mean? You didn't have to. Yeah, he did. They had to. Best thing to do is say, "Thank you, Lord," and thank that individual. Amen. Why are we so high and mighty that we want to say silly stuff like that? Now, all of the triune Godhead is working here. Did you see that? In every area of the believer's life. Come with me to verse number 4. "Now, there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit." There's a diversity of gifts. There's many different kinds, and he's giving them out to each of the believers as God would have him do, as the Holy Spirit knows to do, right? Watch this in verse 5. "And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord." The Holy Spirit is bringing the gifts to the individual. The Lord Jesus is now administering, and he's showing where these gifts should be. The Lord Jesus Christ is the head. He's delegating. The greatest thing about the Lord Jesus is, as the Holy Spirit gives these gifts out, he administers the gift better than we administer the gift. He knows how to use the gifts you have better than you do, so you might as well just go ahead and say, "Hey, while I'm getting this gift, how do I use it, and when do I use it, and where do I use it?" The Holy Spirit will tell you. "Oh, I've got this gift of mercy. Where am I going?" Well, I can tell you it's going to start in your home. It's got to start somewhere, so why not start in the home? Then it's got to be in the house of God. See, this is why it's so important to be in the house of God. God's given you gifts that need to be used. And I know I'm preaching to the choir this morning, especially at Sunday school on Sunday morning. But every gift that people have been given by the Holy Spirit of God and they're not using it, shame on them. It need to be in the house of God with that gift. And then what will happen is people will be in churches. And we saw this in the first 4.5 years I was here. Some people have some tremendous gifts. But because of their rejection of Jesus Christ and hatred for the preacher, they decided that their gift was better used somewhere else when God put it there for a reason. But because like Korah, y'all remember Korah? He and 12,500 of the Israel's leaders went up against Moses. Boy, you talk about feeling insignificant and overpowered. I can imagine Moses stood there thinking, "Oh my, what is going to happen?" Aaron, he was a little skittish, so he would do whatever the people told him to. That's why he couldn't be the leader. But Moses would stand there and say, "Listen, I don't know, Korah, you and y'all are so upset here. It's God that's doing it. Why are you coming against me?" Of course, they found out when the earth was opened by the Lord God Almighty, and it crushed them. And right there in that place, according to Exodus, the enemy, which was 12,500-2 in man's vision, God destroyed that army. God used two men that were his vessels. He says, "No, you're not killing Moses and Aaron. I still got work for them to do." And he destroyed the opposition. Brother Broom, Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, Illinois. I was in high school, and he was recruiting me, wanted me to come to their Christian school my senior year. And anyway, Brother Broom, he made a statement. Brother Broom, as like a lot of men, including myself, if I'm not careful, Sometimes we'll see our position and we want our position to be strengthened or made better. When he made this statement, he said, the Lord Jesus Christ plus me is the majority. In other words, with God beside you, in front of you, behind you, above you, and below you, you plus him equals the majority. There can be 180,000 Assyrians at your door. And because God is with you, and that's why we need to stay right with him, 180,000. Now imagine that against one, right? How about the 500 or however many there was there of the prophets of Baal? I love that story. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe he's gone on vacation. Maybe you need to cry a little louder. I love Elijah there. Sister Karis, you talk about a smart aleck. I like that. Yeah, tell him, Elijah. Elijah knew that with the Lord plus him was the majority. He was just afraid of a Jezebel. Why be afraid of some silly, godless, rejecter of Jesus Christ woman? And I'm going to tell you something, ladies. With that in mind, having dealt with some things the last couple weeks, a woman not right with God is more dangerous than a man that's a sissy as a spiritual leader. Those men can be controlled very easily. That's why, fellas, we've got to be the leaders that we need to be. We've got to be strong leaders. And it's a tough one. It's a tough one because your flesh don't want it. Now, let me go back to this. But did you notice the triune Godhead here? It's not a trinity. I just don't like the word trinity. He's three in one, if you want to call it that, that's fine. But he's a triune God. Three and one. And before you start saying he's a three-headed God, look in the mirror. Because you're three persons. Body, soul, and spirit. Remember that. We're made in the likeness of God, in his image. And so, he's not a three-headed God. But do you see the triune Godhead working in every area? Well, who wants back pain? Who wants a heart condition? I don't know about you, but I didn't sign up for it. Anybody else sign up for, I want migraines. Anybody say, Brother Ray, I can see Brother Ray back going, raising both hands. Yeah, I want migraines. None of us want those things. But sometimes those things come into our life to correct us and make us stronger for others. Now, with that in mind, let me go on. The triune. So you see the administration by the Son of God. What is God Almighty the Father doing? He's empowering. Every area of life is provided for in the believer's life. All of God is to grow and use the believer. That's all it is. Now, so you either get with God's program or you don't. It's simple. It's as simple as that. No individual is able to witness of the fact that the Lord Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, without the Holy Spirit putting that within the individual. Do you understand that? Just simply, no one can name Jesus Christ the Son of God, the Messiah, without the Holy Spirit having put that in you. We are dead in trespasses and sin. Our heart is desperately wicked. There's nothing good in us but what God puts within us. So now, this work of God will grow the believer, use the believer, and unite all believers for the work of God. It's terrible that there are so many divisions and schisms within the Independent Baptist Church. Well, I went to Pensacola Christian College. Well, I went to Hiles Anderson. Well, I went to Bob Jones. Well, I went to Midwestern, or I went to Masters, or I went to here, and I went. There ought not be any schisms, and the problem is there's a bunch of them. Because a lot of the professors get in there with their silliness. And they don't teach anything. No matter what college is, there's always two or three or four professors trying to make a name for themselves, trying to, as one that I hold dear to my heart, Dave, maybe we'll go up into the choir. I had a funeral for Brother Steve Green. This evangelist says, hey, they had just told Brother Mike and I, Sister Green, she come over, David. I said, yes, ma'am. Would you and Brother Mike go up to the choir and lead some of the preachers up there? We're running out of room. Could you do that? Yes, ma'am. Mike and I got right in the middle of that thing. It was televised, and this evangelist and a few others. Hey, guys, come on. If you're a preacher, an evangelist, missionary, come on. We're going to go get in the choir. So we all got in the choir loft, and that evangelist leaned over. You know, Brother Garver, we're on camera here. Maybe I can get some meetings out of this. But that's what I'm saying that we need to guard against. That's why we do what we do here. I don't want it to be us four and no more. I don't want it that way. But God's built your pastor and yourself as we minister together, that those that want to come in with a whole different agenda, that don't want to bring the family of God together, that don't want the body to be one member, that's why they don't last long. That's why they come in and they leave. Praise God for visitors. But I always pray, Lord God, if that visitor ought not be here, then please remove them. And how many, you say, you do that? Yeah, I don't care about the offerings. Oh, I do to a point. But money's never been the reasoning for pastoring. It can't be. Pastor Charlie always told me, if you want to get rich, don't pastor. Thank the Lord for what He has done, provided for Jamie and I, and it's all God doing the work. This work of God will grow the believer, uses the believer, unites all believers for the work of God. Number one, souls need to be saved. Yep. Bottom line, Jesus Christ needs to be glorified because there is no other name under heaven whereby a man must be saved. There's no individual, there's no system, there's no schism, there's no anything, no philosophy that can ever save a soul. Our number one goal is to grow, and that's the next point. Believers need to grow. But it all boils down to lost souls being saved. If David doesn't follow God, I know. It's not because of me. All right, let me stop and say this. Nothing I've ever done is because of me. Done or not done. It's not. But I was thinking about this the last couple weeks as I looked through this. Would Jamie have ever been saved if we'd have gone back to Pensacola, if we hadn't gone back to Pensacola Christian College? In August of 91, you know the story. We left out, had no place to go on a Saturday. We had our friends there, Anna and her husband. Who? God did that, y'all. We showed up with our little girl, 3 years old. Had no idea what we were supposed to do. Just knew what God had called us to do. And I've seen that in my life before. We had gone home, and I knew we had to be back in Perry. And I had everybody fighting against me. And by the way, if you're going to do it God's way, you're going to have everybody against you. That was on Saturday, and that Monday, one of the girls back in produce come back to me and said, hey, our pastor left Sunday night. Are you pastoring anywhere? Can you be a help to us? And that Wednesday night, I kid you not, after having all that battle and all those people hate on me, my family members hate on me, there wasn't a one that was with me. And that Wednesday night, we preached. June or July of 2000 till February of 2001 to try to help that church. Beloved, that's where you've got to understand your place in the body. You got to understand your gifts within that body. And you got to understand that number one, it is to see souls saved. I go back on some of the preaching and some of the places that I've been. And I wondered, Lord, did I do too much? Did my family suffer? Well, families are either going to get with the program and follow God or they're not. I can't do anything about decisions that go against God. All I can do is obey God and lead and go. That's all I can do. Though no one join me, still I will follow. So these gifts are given for the believers, their need to grow. I don't care how old you think you are. You may think you don't need to be in kindergarten no more and you're 85 years old. That doesn't matter. Every day, every minute of the day, every night, every time, you need to grow. You're the only one stunting your growth.
Well, you know, coffee will stunt your growth.
Whatever.
You know, we always have these, well, I know why he's short. He's short because, no, you have no clue why an individual might be short.
They are short because that's the way God wanted them to be, fearfully and wonderfully made.
Third thing, the church needs to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Not a college, not a philosophy, and not a man or a woman. That's why a lot of people don't last here. Again, going back to their agenda.
Many people have left us and slammed their fist on my desk demanding that their authority be noticed in the church. None of us have authority. So understand this as I finish this morning. The distribution of gifts is by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives the gifts. Now I pray in Jesus, the Lord Jesus' name. I want the Lord Jesus to be glorified. Many times in my prayer life, all right, Holy Spirit, I'm having a hard time understanding this. Can you show me what you want here? Boy, there was one passage just recently in Luke chapter 17. Lord, what in the... I just don't see it. And I was reading it. And I don't remember where I was at. I was like, David, take above and below to understand the passage that you're in. Go back to first mention of things. We're dealing with a servant, a steward. In other words, the Holy Spirit was saying, stop making your head spin. Stop, David, overthinking it. What's there? What do you know?
Oh. Well, one thing is, there ain't a whole lot I do know. Have you ever noticed that the older you get, the less you know? The Holy Spirit gives those gifts. Administration of those gifts is the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus administers those gifts. He knows exactly how the left thumb and the right big toe should work together. He knows these things. This is something I've noticed in the martial arts, especially as I come back with knee and back and some other different things. What was I doing that created that? What do I need to do to make it better? I tell you, pelvic control has been huge for me. I did not know this, but even when I stand, I will sometimes feel more extension in my lower back. So now what I have to do is bring myself stronger, bend my knee a little bit. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, that feels really good right there. Well, the same thing is within the body of Christ. The right elbow gets out of joint. Then the left knee gets out of joint. Oh, Lord help us when the right ankle gets out of joint. Beloved, it's important. It's so important that we understand that the Lord Jesus administers.
Hey, I got the gift of public speaking. Therefore, I ought to be the pastor.
You may have been given that gift of public speaking to help your pastor become a better pastor. Public speaker. This ain't easy. Especially when you have Catherine staring back at you. Or you got your honey staring back at you. That's real scary. Or you, God forbid, you ever, any of y'all are up here and Sister Rachel staring at you. Every one of us, and I'm going to say this about Sister Rachel right now, her and Ray are not spiritual dummies. They're not. To stand and be able to deliver in front of pastors who've supposedly studied their Bible. And I told you about one evangelist that he said, the first time I heard you preach, I didn't like you at all. Okay. Well, I don't care. Jesus loves me, this I know. All right? I honestly don't care what you like or don't like. And then when that evangelist came to preach here, he saw what we lived in. Now, when you see what they live in a mansion, what I would consider a mansion.
with a pool. Anybody that's got a swimming pool that's heated, they are rich people. In the state of Michigan, having a heated pool, which I think is a myth, there's no such thing as a warm enough pool in the state of Michigan, unless it's in a motel and it is controlled, the heat is controlled. Otherwise, Sister Jamie and I laid out in the sun at our son's pool yesterday, but I didn't get in because you put your foot in there and it's like being in Alaskan water. Now, the last thing, and I'm done. So the Holy Spirit distributes the gifts. The Lord Jesus administers the gifts. Now, the power to perform those gifts, that's God the Father. He supplies the power for you and I in those gifts. So often I've been told by others, if I was to tithe according to the Word of God, my family wouldn't eat. Your family will eat if you tithe according to the Word of God. We got it backwards. Well, Lord, I can't give this. I can't do that. Lord, and we're going to get into gifts soon. Sister Bensy is able to speak to people. If I put Catherine up here, now Catherine can talk a lot. If I put Jamie up here, who is quiet by nature, and put them in a position that they had to, then yes, they're going to give a testimony. Yeah, they're going to be, but that's not who they are. The power to do that gift is given to us by God the Father himself. That's how the triune Godhead works in these gifts. And that's why I entitled this morning's Sunday school lesson is the working of God within us. That's his grace working in us, through us, and around us to bring about that which is best for us. Father, help us understand our position. Help us to understand that it is you that works those things out and empowers us to use those gifts that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.